Well, good morning, everyone. If you have your Bibles, could you please take them out and turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. So, as you already know, the past couple of weeks, we have been in a sermon series through the book of James that is entitled Wisdom from Above. So this will be the ninth sermon in this series. The writer of this letter, James, he writes and he wants to share wisdom from above, or in other words, wisdom from God concerning how we can be devoted and how we can be loyal to him. Now, last time we were in the book of James, which actually that's been like about 3 weeks ago now. I can't believe it seems like a long time ago. But you may remember that we had looked through the first 10 verses of chapter 4. So just a reminder, there is a spiritual war that's going on within us. It's a war against worldliness. In other words, our friendship with the world affects our relationship with God. Our friendship with the world concerning our passions, concerning our desires, our lusts, our sins, our idolatry, these things affect our relationship with God in many different ways. Remember how we said that it affects are how we trust God and how we trust whether he will be able to provide for us. We also said that it affects our relationship in the sense that we have become spiritual adulterers. Remember, it's like we are cheating on God. Remember how I shared an example of how, what would happen if I had cheated on Joyce with another woman? And not only that, even asked her, hey, can you give me money for my date? Or can you cook for us? You know how messed up and how horrible that is? That's what it's like when we have friendship with the world. We have become spiritual adulterers. We have become unfaithful to God. And it also affects our relationship in the sense that we have also become enemies of God as well. So you see, these things really affect our relationship with God. But despite the fact that we have been unfaithful to God, despite the fact that we are enemies of God because of our friendship with the world, there is still good news. There is still hope. We had learned that God shows his love and his grace and mercy for us. He still is jealous for us. He still shows his undeserved grace to each and every one of us. But you have to know that that grace is given to us if we are humble. So I hope you're here in verse chapter 4. I want you to read with me in verse 6. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. And also jump over to verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So I guess the point here is that to receive God's grace, we need to approach him in humility. To receive God's grace, we need to approach him in humility. So that's why for the rest of chapter 4 here in James, James sees the need to address the issue of pride, especially in two areas, in the areas of our speech and in the areas of our planning. So for today's sermon, we're going to be focusing on verses 11 and 12 concerning pride in our speech. And then Lord willing, next week, we're going to be focusing on the rest of the chapter, verses 13 to 17, and focusing on pride in our matter of planning. So remember, to receive God's grace, we need to approach him in humility. So that's why we need to address this whole notion of grace, this whole notion of pride and humility. So let's start with chapter 4, verses 11 to 12 here. So we're going to focus on prideful speech and how pride in our speech that really can affect and can shut us out from God's grace. So, hope you're here with me, James chapter 4. We're going to focus on verses 11 to 12, but for context, we're actually going to start reading from verse 1, just to review from last week. James chapter 4, starting from verse 1, please follow along as I read. James says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now here, verses 11 and 12. This is where we're going to focus on today. Verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again, another Sunday, another day to worship you, to learn more about your word. And Father, as we receive wisdom from above, we pray that you would help us see the pride that we have in our speech, concerning how we may be judging others, how we may be speaking evil of other people. Lord, sometimes we may do this very often. We don't even think about it. But Lord, help us to see how we can deal with our pride so that we can focus on receiving the grace that you have promised to us and be restored in our relationship with you. Father, we want to thank you for all of this, and we ask that you continue to teach us. We lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. So I mentioned last time that our friendship with the world affects our relationship with God. But it doesn't just affect that. It also affects our relationship with one another as well. So I want to begin by sharing an opening story that is from an article that's called Judging Others that was written by a man named Ken Sand. So there once was a woman, her name was Anne, and she said this, "I knew that he was too proud to take criticism, and now I have proof." So basically, on the previous Sunday, Anne had dropped a response card in the church offering box. And basically, the response card was asking her pastor to come and pray with her in the hospital, because later on in that week, she was going to be having a small minor surgery. But when the pastor failed to come stop by, she decided to call the church to figure out what happened. And the receptionist said, oh, he was there at the hospital earlier trying to see someone else. And now, no, Anne was very distraught about this. So basically said, he has no excuse. He was already in the hospital building, and he knew that I needed his support, but he ignored me. He resented me. Oh, I think it's because since I started telling him that, oh, his sermons weren't really that good, and he needs to add more practical application. And now my pastor, he must be getting back at me. He must be ignoring my spiritual needs, and who is he to call himself a shepherd? So after brooding about this for a long time, and pretty much for 3 days, Anne went down to the church on Saturday evening, and she wrote a letter basically confronting her pastor, like basically about his pride and defensiveness and his hypocrisy. And she sealed the envelope, and she put it into the mailbox. So she wanted him to feel this, that that she needed him the most, and he had failed. So the moment that she walked into that church like that the next morning, one of the deacons had hurried over to her and basically apologized. And she said, "Anne, I need to apologize to you. I took the cards out of the offering box, and I left your card at the bottom of the box and by accident. So that's why the pastor didn't get your card. And so I apologize for that." And then not too long later, the pastor came up to her and said, "Oh, Anne, I was thinking about your comments the other week, and I made some changes in my messages and hope that it'll be better since I'm going to add more practical applications." So Anne, at this, was speechless because she had misjudged her pastor. She had misjudged him, and she felt really bad because she had already put that letter into the mail. Now, I know that some of you may have experienced or known like how judging someone can sometimes lead you into these very awkward situations. And hopefully, you probably haven't judged your pastor yet. I hope that's not the case. But, you know, Anne, in her pride and in her speech, like she had misjudged her pastor, And again, in today's passage, we see that James wants to get our attention. Get our attention, particularly to stop us from judging one another in what he calls speaking evil against one another. Let's turn, look with me. Chapter 4, verse 11, okay? James says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." Do not speak evil. So here, James gives a command to not speak evil against one another. Well, to speak evil, or speak evil against, it's basically it's one Greek word that's called katalaleo. So kata is a preposition that basically means down or against, or and laleo is basically to speak. So literally, to speak down or to speak against someone. And has the intention of evilness in it. If you're reading from the New International Version, you see that James will use the word slander there. So to slander or to speak evil against someone involves basically speaking bad about someone, ruining their character, ruining their reputation, or in other words, trying to defame them. And the Greek word here has nothing to do with whether this thing that's being said is true or not. So, I mean, this verse doesn't say, oh, don't slander or don't speak evil against one another unless it is true. No, it says, regardless of whether it's true, you shouldn't slander. You shouldn't speak evil against one another. No, because I think that some people think, oh, if it's as long as it's true, then I can probably say those bad things about that person. Oh, you don't know about my mom and how she treated me in this way, and you speak bad about her. Oh, you don't know about this person and how he has sinned, and like it's you know, news is being spread all around the church and all around the world. You know, just because it's true doesn't necessarily give you the right to say it or speak about it. And I think the news media seems to get to understand this. You know, you may hear things reported about politicians and celebrities and try to defame their character, you know, all for the sake of getting more money. And if the report is false, then, you know, the news report, they'll have to recant the story and have to apologize before everyone. But if the news story is true, they don't care. That news story will be spread. So again, just because something is true doesn't mean that you are allowed to just speak bad about someone about it. If you look at James chapter 5, verse 9, you know, very quickly it says this, "Do not grumble against one another." So what's the difference between slander or speaking evil about someone and grumbling? You know, literally, to grumble means to groan or to sigh or to basically complain about other people to yourself. So I know, like, many of you know that, like, Joyce had just given birth yesterday. And, you know, last night, you know, it was a little bit horrible because the baby starts to cry in the middle of the night. Oh, feed me, I'm hungry. And I'll change my diaper. And then, like, after I changed the diaper, literally, I heard, and, like, she basically pooped in it again, and I have to change the diaper right away. And I have to grumble to myself, oh, what are you doing? Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm not really grumbling against my new daughter. But here's the difference between grumbling and slander. Grumbling is basically when we speak against someone to ourselves, okay? But slander is when we speak bad about someone else to other people, okay? But it doesn't matter, like these two differences has really no difference because both of them are sin. It doesn't matter whether we spoke it to ourselves or whether we spoke it to other people. It doesn't matter whether like you say it out loud or whether it's true or whether it's not true. Both are speaking evil against someone, and both are considered prideful speech. And James gives this command, do not speak evil against one another. So the question is why? So for today, we're going to be answering one main question, and this question is this. Why should we not speak evil against one another? Why should we not speak evil against one another? And we'll see that this passage, these two verses, we'll see three reasons for why we should not speak evil against one another. So let's start with the first reason, number one. So why should we not speak evil against one another? Number one, speaking evil against one another is speaking against the law. Okay? First reason, speaking evil against one another is speaking against the law. Read with me from verse 11. James says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law." So speaks evil against the law. So what does it mean to speak evil against the law? Does it mean that if you do it, you can be thrown into jail because, you know, it's against the law? No, that's not what it means here. When we're talking about the law, or in other words, nomos in Greek, is referring to God's moral law. God's moral law that is found in Scripture. So in other words, it's saying that when we slander against one another, when we speak evil against another person, we are speaking against God's moral law found in Scripture. And we see how this slandering is addressed in the book of Leviticus itself. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." So as many of you may know, God's law can be summarized in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39, in basically two greatest commandments, to love God and to love others. Remember back in James chapter 2, verse 8, we were talking about the law. It says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. In James chapter 2, verse 8. So again, this is what it's talking about when we're talking about speaking against the law. When we judge by speaking against other people and speaking evil and slandering one another, we are speaking against the law. We are speaking against the law in the sense that we are not obeying the command to love your neighbor as yourself. We're really, literally, blatantly rebelling against God's law about loving your neighbor as yourself. Again, this is considered as prideful speech. So again, why should we not speak well, speak evil against one another? The first point, first reason, speaking evil against one another is speaking against the law. So I'm sure you can think of many different examples of how there's a rule, there's a law, and you may feel the need to just really break it, that rule or break that law. If there's a sign that says, oh, don't step on the grass, but you know it's sort of like the shortest way from you to get from point A to point B, sometimes I think you will still step on the grass. Or maybe there's a sign that says, do not touch, but you still have the need to just want to touch and break that law. Or I don't know, some of you really are really like Finding Nemo. I remember when Marlin had told Nemo, hey, don't touch the butts. When we talk about the butts, it was like basically that motorboat. But Nemo wasn't listening to his dad, and he went closer and closer to the motorboat or the butts, and then he touched the butt. So we all have this need inside of us where we feel like we want to break against the law. So in this way, it's just to help us to picture and understand how when we speak evil against one another, speak something bad about someone, we are speaking against God's law. We are blatantly saying that we do not want to love our neighbor as yourself. So we need to remember to keep God's moral law by not only loving him, but by also loving others as well. And by remembering this, we can remember that we shouldn't speak evil against one another. Let's move on to the second point that we can see here. So why should we not speak evil against one another? As we continue on, we will see the second reason. So point two, speaking evil against one another makes one a judge of the law. So again, point two, speaking evil against one another makes one a judge of the law. So let's read verse 11 again. James says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. And judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. So here, James is saying that not only that when you speak evil against someone that you are speaking against the law, but also you have become a judge of the law. So let me think about this. When you judge someone and when you speak evil against someone or slander them, you're basically saying that you are right and this person is wrong. Okay? So in other words, you are judging someone according to your own standard. You are the one who gets to decide which of God's moral laws are good and should be followed, should be obeyed, and which are probably along the thin lines, and you can say, oh, you don't have to do that. You can just ignore it. You're saying that God's law is not good enough. So this is why, in this way, when we're speaking evil against someone, we are judging the law. We become someone who applies our own standard above God's standard. And again, this is considered as prideful speech. So there was one day that there was a policeman who was sitting on the side of the highway. You know, basically it's a speed trap. You know, he wanted to catch as many cars going by that's going over the speed limit. And all of a sudden, this police officer sees a car puttering along very, very slowly at just 22 miles per hour. And this policeman thought, wow, this car is driving really slow, and he's just as dangerous as if someone who was like speeding over the speed limit. So he turns on his lights and pulls over this car. And upon approaching the car, he notices that there actually were five elderly women in the car, and they look a little bit pale, they look a little bit scared. So the window rolls down, and then the elderly lady in the front seat asks, "Oh, officer, what seems to be the problem? I don't understand. I was doing exactly the speed limit." And then the officer said, "Ma'am, you weren't doing the speeding limits. You should know that you were driving at just 22 miles an hour. It's too slow. It's dangerous to other people." "Oh, slower than the speed limit?" she asked. "Oh, I was doing the speed limit exactly, 22 miles an hour." And the police officer basically looks up at one of the signs and says, "Route 22. So basically she had mistaken the Route 22 for the speed limit. Oh, and then he basically corrected her. And then the elderly lady, she was very embarrassed by it and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, officer, I'll pick up the pace and I'll make sure that I won't do it again." And then the officer, before he was to go, he basically had something to ask this lady. She said, is everyone in the car okay? No, I noticed that all the other women, they seem very pale and scared inside. Oh, it's no problem, officer. We just got off of Route 119. So you can imagine how fast they were speeding there. So this elderly lady, she was driving according to her own judgment of what the speed limit is, rather than what the actual speed limit of the law is. She judged the law and did what she thought was right and what was best. So we do the exact same thing when we judge and we speak evil against someone else and when we slander them. Again, why should we not speak evil against one another? Here's the second part. Speaking evil against one another makes one a judge of the law. So really, what is the solution to judging people? What is the solution to speaking evil about someone? Because I know it is so easy to really speak bad about someone and gossip about them, especially if they did something bad to you. And you say, "How can this person do something to me? They forgot about this. They promised to do this, but they didn't do that. I see them always like a hypocrite. They say that, oh, you shouldn't do this, but then they themselves do the same thing." You can probably know that there are times in your life where you are talking bad about other people in that way. So what is the solution? How can we overcome it? Look at the last part in verse 11. "The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." So what is the solution to not judging others? Basically, the opposite of judging against God's law is basically becoming a doer of God's law. You may have remembered earlier in the sermon series in James, back in chapter 1, we had a sermon about becoming doers of God's word, or in other words, being obedient to God's word. James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the word, and not only hearers, only deceiving yourself." So when you are doing God's word, or in other words, you're obeying it and practicing it, then this is when true justice and from submission in God can really come from, through humility and through obedience. So this is a solution to overcoming judging one another and speaking evil against one another. Finally, in this passage, I believe that there's one more reason for why we should not be speaking evil against one another. So here is the third point. So why should we not speak evil against one another? Number three, speaking evil against one another usurps the role of God as the judge. I'll say it one more time. Speaking evil against one another usurps the role of God as the judge. So we see this here in verse 12. Verse 12, James says, "There is only one lawgiver and one judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor. There's only one lawgiver and one judge. God is that lawgiver. God is that judge. He's the one who not only authored the law, but he's the only one who actually administers it. Only God can be able to save and destroy. Or in other words, when he judges, only he can be the one to give his mercy and grace. And only he can be the one to be able to punish a wrongdoer. So when we, in our own human sinfulness, speak evil about someone and slander against them or judge them, we are, in a sense, taking upon God's authority. We are as if we are, if God is on his bench as judge, and we just push God off his bench and sit on top of it like that. So we take over God's authority by becoming the actual judge. So I think you may have remembered or maybe have heard in the news about 2 weeks ago in Chicago, there was a father of a football player who was basically accused of wearing a referee's uniform and being out on the football field and basically influenced the outcome of the football game. Now, this is a high school football game in favor of his own son's team. Now, this wasn't just any regular football game. This was the quarterfinals. You know, whichever team won this game would move on to the semifinals, like before the finals. So you can imagine how important this game really was. So this father, no, he was just a regular parent in the stands. He took it upon himself to put on a referee's uniform, you know, the black and white stripes, get on the field, talk with the referees, stand along the sidelines, and make calls in favor of his son's team. Oh, that's a foul. Oh, offsides. And like you can see all these calls that are being made. So apparently there were like outrage about this when like people found out about it. And on Facebook, you know, this father, he basically tried to defend himself. He said, I did what was needed to make sure my son's team won, and I didn't make any bad calls at all. I made sure that the best team won. And of course, this whole thing like didn't settle well with a lot of people, and like a lawsuit came about between the two school associations of the teams that had played. So again, here we have this regular parent, no, just like everyone else in the stands, a father, putting himself in a position of authority as a referee of the game, in a game that he was not supposed to be officiating in, to judge the players in the game. So who was he to be a referee? What kind of person was he that made him available to do that, or give him that authority to be able to do that? You see, I think at the same time, we need to ask ourselves the same question about ourselves. Who are we to judge one another? And we see this here in verse 12, that very last part of verse 12. But who are you to judge your neighbors? Everyone here is a human being. We are all mostly Christians in the church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all on equal standings. We are all to submit to God, who is supposed to be our Lord, our Savior, and our judge. So who are we to take the position of the judge or to take the position of God and to judge one another? So again, why should we not speak evil against one another? Again, we said the third reason, speaking evil against one another usurps the role of God as the judge. Now, is this passage saying that we should never judge at all in all circumstances? And actually, no. James isn't saying that we shouldn't judge at all. Actually, there are times where we should judge. You know, in John chapter 7, verse 24, it says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And I think a lot of people, especially those who are non-believers, one of their most favorite verses, they'll turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Basically, it says, do not judge, or judge not, that you, lest you be judged. So this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And they say, oh, you shouldn't be judging other people. This is basically a non-Christian's favorite verse. But is that what Jesus is really saying? You know, in context, in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying that you shouldn't judge hypocritically. You shouldn't judge other people when you yourself have something to be able to repent of. And not only that, in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, you see that, you know, you need to judge in order to protect yourself from false teachers and in order to really discern whether a non-believer doesn't want to really hear the gospel. And also Matthew chapter 18, there's also steps for churches to apply church discipline in order to correct people, not only in their beliefs and also in their practices, to align themselves with God's word. We need to judge. So the point here in this whole sermon is that we shouldn't judge at all, but the rather, we shouldn't judge in a prideful way. And in this sense, for this particular point, we shouldn't judge in a way where we are putting ourselves in God's positions, where we are above him, where we're above the law, and using that authority against other people. So let me review everything that we have learned from this passage here in James chapter 4, just these two little verses, 11 and 12. Again, we had asked the main question of why should we not speak evil against one another? And we said that there are three reasons for that. So let's review. Reason number one, speaking evil against one another is speaking against the law. So when we judge other people, we are saying that we are rebelling against loving your neighbor as yourself, that law. That's what it means to speak against the law. Reason number two, speaking evil against one another makes one a judge of the law. So when we judge other people, we have become the person to determine what is right, what is wrong, and we change God's law in that sense. And finally, as we talked about, reason number three, speaking evil against one another usurps the role of God as the judge. You see, in all of these three reasons, we see an element of pride that is involved in it. We see an element of pride that's involved with judging one another and in our speech. So remember, at the beginning of the sermon, I talked about how we, in order to receive God's grace, we need to have humility. In order to receive God's grace to overcome this war against our worldliness or our friendship of the world, we need to have humility. So this is why we had to focus on humility in terms of our speech, by not judging one another, by not speaking evil against one another. So next week, Lord willing, we'll be finishing James chapter 4, and we'll be addressing how we can practice humility according to overcoming our pride in planning. So that'll be for next week. In the meantime, let us bow our heads before the Lord and go to the Lord in prayer in humility. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you once again. After hearing this convicting message, Father, I pray that you help us to have a reflection upon ourselves. Help us to see, are there times where we have spoken evil against other people? Are there times where we have judged other people because of their sins, or because we don't think that they should be doing things like in this way? And as a result, we know that we are defaming them. We are bringing down their character. It doesn't matter whether we're just grumbling about it to ourselves or whether we're actually slandering and talking about this person with like other people. Lord, this is still sin in your eyes. Lord, help us to recognize our pride in these practices. And Lord, this is the wisdom that you have given us today, to be able to overcome this pride and be able to know how we can come before you and be able to receive this undeserved grace that you have given us. Lord, we know that we've been far away from you. We know that our relationship with you may not be very good right now. We may feel very far away from you. But Lord, help us to understand that even at this moment right now, we can repent of our sins. We can return to God and ask for him, his forgiveness in humility. And we know that you are a faithful God and you always welcome us back. You always restore that relationship with you. And you always help us to be devoted and loyal to you. Father, as a result, help us to honor and glorify you in our speech and in the way that we relate to one another and not judge or slander one another. Father, we praise you and we thank you for how you have taught us today. And we lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.